Hello, and welcome to Cat Context Podcast, episode 37 for Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. We are back again and back on schedule. So today we're going to be talking about Beyond Two Souls. We're going to talk about The Wolf Among Us, and we're going to pick up a topic that's hot with the Newbie Blogger Initiative this week, which is, are guilds still relevant? We're going to fight about that later. But first, back with us as always is Alindriel. Hey Ellie, how was your weekend?
It's been really good. I carved some pumpkins today and played some Magic yesterday and played some other games over the weekend. It was good.
Carving pumpkins? That's awesome.
I know. We went to a pumpkin patch. It was great.
Did you do any fabulous designs?
I made Jack Skellington on my pumpkin and it came out really well.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's actually really cool.
And at the pumpkin patch, I saw somebody, it was a painted pumpkin, not a carved pumpkin, but it was one of the minions from Despicable Me, and it was super awesome.
Also with us today is Vajra, and you're back after a few weeks off, so how's it going?
It's going good. Quiet, you know, I haven't been carving any pumpkins.
It's Halloween.
Yeah, I've been using this time to decorate my dimension in Rift in a Halloween theme because much less pumpkin guts.
I have a giant bowl of pumpkin guts on my counter, and I think I'm gonna try and roast the seeds later. Done it, but we'll give it a shot.
It's dirty easy.
Roasted,
very, very simple.
It's easy and it's delicious. They're amazingly good. I don't even like pumpkin, but I will eat fresh roasted pumpkin.
Well, you're wrong about not liking pumpkin.
No, I'm...
Pumpkin's super good.
I've had pumpkin, and I'm already wrong.
I've had pumpkin curry. Pumpkin curry is really good.
Pumpkin curry is good. That's
pumpkin
true.
Pie is the most delicious kind of pie.
That is simply wrong. You are just confused.
That is anti-American.
Anti-American. The apple pie. Disliking apple pie is anti-American.
Pumpkin pie is better than apple pie.
Oh, shut up. Get out of my country. Get out.
Can I just take this opportunity to say, dear internet, get over pumpkin spice. Get over it. I'm sick of hearing about your love of pumpkin spice.
Well, like pumpkin spice lattes and stuff, that's like only a thing because of Starbucks, I think, right?
Well, marketing, yeah.
Yeah, but everyone, like, it's the new bacon. Everyone's crazy about pumpkin spice all of a sudden. No, it is. It's the new
bacon. It is not nearly as everywhere as bacon.
You're just looking. You're spoiling for a fight. And we'll get there.
I had pumpkin beer. Have you had pumpkin beer?
Pumpkin beer is really overrated. Really, really overrated.
Some of them are okay.
No.
That sounds terrible. I would not drink a pumpkin beer.
Yeah, but you're drinking Keystone Light or whatever you have in your hand there.
It's Kokanee Glacier Fresh.
So much better.
Yeah, yeah, Glacier Fresh. Anyway, so we have a couple of new games to talk about this week. Beyond Two Souls is first up, and that's David Cage's new game, the follow-up to Heavy Rain. And Ellie, you and I talked last week about how we were excited for this game. Have you had a chance to play it at all?
No, it's literally sitting on my counter in the shrink wrap still. I very much want to play it, but I know that I'm going to have to spend like 2 to 3 days of gaming time in a row to play it.
Mm, you will.
And maybe, I don't know. I don't know how long it is, but I just haven't gotten to it yet. I played some other games instead.
Vajra, have you played Beyond Two Souls at all?
Well, no, I don't have any of the systems that'll run it, so I've just been watching it in Let's Play format, which honestly I think might be pretty much the same experience as playing it, as near as I can tell.
You don't get to make any of the decisions.
I don't know that they really matter to the narrative. Nothing I have seen. This feels like it doesn't really feel like a game so much as a guided narrative experience. I don't really feel like there's, the player's input really feels kind of incidental at best from just watching it. It feels like a really long trailer.
Right. David Cage, he has a story and he wants to tell his story. And while you sort of have a little say over how the story goes, at the end of the day, he has a story to tell, and you can't get away from that. Now, have you played Heavy Rain, Fasha?
I had to give up on it. The thing is, besides narrative-heavy games, David Cage also really likes QuickTime events, and QuickTime events are the worst thing on Earth. They're the worst thing about video games. They are pretty much the worst thing ever. And if you make a game full of QuickTime events, you're pretty much guaranteeing I'll never play it. So I didn't play Heavy Rain. I didn't play Deadly Premonition. I won't play this. I'll watch someone else play it, but So that was close.
Would you say they're worse than pumpkin beer?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Just so we have a scale there.
See, because a QuickTime event, if you fuck it up in a lot of his games, you're done. You have to start over. With pumpkin beer, you drink some, you realize, oh, wait, I'm drinking pumpkin beer. You put it down and get a good beer. So it's a much quicker recovery time.
Yeah, but I guess, I don't know, we talked about it last week a bit. I disagree with that sentiment. I don't think QuickTime events are the worst thing ever. I mean, I liked playing those when they were just Simon. I mean, Simon was always a fun game. Right? The little circle thing with the four colors and it
The memory game. Yeah, no. Yeah.
No, that's fun.
But I'm still not sure how Simon and QuickTime events are the same.
I'm
not really seeing a correlation, but I disagree with you on both counts, so you're still wrong in my book. That's all that really matters.
Ellie, did you play Heavy Rain?
I did.
All right. It's really old now, so we're going to spoil it a little bit. But did you do more than one ending? I'm curious how...
No, why would you go back?
Well, I'm curious how much decisions actually played an end, actually affected the end of Heavy Rain. Because for me, I got the feeling that it didn't. I mean, it kind of affects who lives and who dies.
There are characters that live and die based on your actions, right?
Mm-hmm. But the story goes to the same point.
Yeah, but that's always the case. I mean, like, that is a product of the medium. And I don't think that that's necessarily wrong. To have some interactivity and some agency within the greater story is still different than just watching a movie. It's different than just playing a Rails shooter. I mean, I don't know. It's different than me and you, like, writing a story together or, you know, sitting at a table and playing an RPG where the story is a lot more open-ended. Although that you can get railroaded in RPGs too, but I don't think that necessarily is all that bad.
Well, no, and you know, it's like for the most of history of games, you know, it's pretty much you are getting railroaded. You know, there you don't have an option of not saving the princess at the end of Super Mario Brothers. You don't get to not save her and save Toad instead and see what would have happened then. It's there's one story and
that'd be a good game. I'd play that. Beyond Two Souls is clearly a cinematic narrative experience.
Yeah, and that's all. I mean, did you expect anything different going into it?
I would have. I guess my biggest problem is not the conclusion; it's getting there. You don't really have a lot of decisions on how you get to the ending. What happens at each stage of the game is pretty already nailed down. You really don't have a lot of decisions in any given moment. Like, I'm not going to try and spoil too much here. One of the scenarios you see in Beyond Two Souls is your main character, Jody, gets sent to an acquaintance's birthday party where everyone kind of knows that she's different and maybe has special powers or something. So, and it's set up pretty obviously from the beginning on how it's going to go, and it plays out exactly how you think it's going to play out. And watching, I just never got the feeling that there was anything that would have changed the ending of that scenario. There was never, of all the decisions you were presented with, none of them would have changed it.
Yeah, but that's not any different than Mass Effect.
Well, I also don't like Mass Effect.
Okay, well then, so, you're not a good person to be commenting on narrative games then.
I don't know, I mean, like, games, for example, I've been playing a lot of Fallout New Vegas lately, and again, the ending, the game culminates with you're fighting the Legate Lanius at Hoover Dam no matter what. That's the end of the game. But how you get there is pretty much left entirely up to you. They just hand you a big sandbox and say, well, get to the other side of it, and, you know, eventually.
But there's a storyline, right?
There is, absolutely. And there's a huge overarching narrative that you can engage in. You can, you know, be helping people that have encountered various environmental changes you've made. You can change the world for people. You can do pretty dramatic things to the narrative. But you're very, very rarely ever forced to do anything in any particular fashion. In point of fact, pretty much every character in the game can live or die at any point. You can lose story critical characters from a straight bullet, and then they're gone, unless you've saved before that.
Alright, that's a legit diversion from the path they want you to take.
You know, I mean, But then you don't necessarily have to meet any of those people at all. If you don't happen to encounter them, that entire branch of the story is just missed,
yeah,
is gone.
I mean, I think that is an entirely different genre of game, though.
I don't think we're really talking about genres here. We're just talking about what is capable in the game space today. And I think that demonstrates pretty clearly that, you know, you can leave a lot more open-ended than Cage chooses to. He's making a conscious decision to make it decisions.
I would consider that a player. I would consider that a different genre or a different storytelling style for sure. Because
I would say it goes beyond genre. Then I think you're talking about a whole different type of entertainment. It's not really a game anymore. It's a slightly interactive movie.
Sure, which is totally reasonable, and I'm absolutely willing to pay for good versions of that too. And I mean, I don't expect anything more than that really out of Beyond Two Souls. I mean, Heavy Rain was very much that for me, and that's what I wanted. I mean, like, part of the reason I don't want to watch these things on Let's Plays is because you lose the interactivity, and then all you have is the narrative and the storytelling. And when all you have is the storytelling and narrative, then the story becomes that much more important.
I guess I'm not really following.
I'm willing to forgive excesses in storytelling and you know, writing that may or may not be the greatest all of the time if the rest of the interaction is fun. And we had the discussion around BioShock Infinite too, where people really hated the gameplay and thought that detracted, and then other people hated the story, you know, for the story. And for me, those things sort of complemented each other in a way where I was happy with the game. I think that if you take some of the elements out of it, you know, the quick time events, the interactivity adds a level of immersion that you don't get necessarily from just watching somebody else play it. And I think that that's an integral part of these kind of storytelling experiences. It absolutely was for me when I played Heavy Rain. I mean, I felt way worse knowing that what felt like my failure as a game player is what led to some of the horrible, horrible, horrible things that happened in that game.
You forgot to feed your son on time.
Right.
For instance, right? Like, you know, I mean, I think that that adds to the overall feeling of the game rather than, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that's an important part of that experience for me.
I have not played. I've watched Heavy Rain. I've watched Beyond Two Souls because I don't have a console. And while I agree that there's probably a certain immediacy that comes with I hit the button and this happened, or I did not hit the button and this did not happen, they're both really cinematic. I mean, they make for really excellent viewing. And I got sucked right into Beyond Two Souls and ended up watching 5 hours of it one day while I was making Thanksgiving dinner because it's compelling. I chose not to turn something on Netflix because I could watch Beyond Two Souls.
Right.
Critical response has been really mixed. Mm-hmm. I'd say it's not doing as well as Heavy Rain critically.
Did Heavy Rain do well critically? I thought that it didn't. Or did it just not do well commercially?
I think it didn't do well commercially, but it did well critically. And I'm actually surprised about that. I find Beyond Two Souls to be the better written story.
Mm-hmm.
I think the actors, I assume Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe and everyone did their own motion capture.
Yep, they did. That's one of the best parts about it, yeah.
Yeah, the physicality of the characters is really good. The writing, I think, is actually much better than Heavy Rain. The characters are better. As far as just a cinematic experience goes, I think it's the better experience. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call it a game.
Why? It's still a game. Well, okay, I mean, like, you're going to ask the philosophical question of, like, what makes a game?
What is
then
a game?
Oh, God. Did we get to this point? Is this what I came back
on? No, well, we...
All right.
You missed that Leora was basically, she said, this is a great interactive experience, but I don't know if it's a game.
Yes, thank you. Exactly. That is exactly it. She nailed it on the head there.
But I don't know that what does qualify something as a game? Because, I mean, I think that's an important question, and does it matter is the other thing. Because it doesn't matter. To me, it's still entertainment.
It is that, but I don't think it really still qualifies as what we think of as a game. I think all of his work really is kind of falling into a weird category that's somewhere between, like, King's Quest-style point-and-click adventure and a movie. And, I mean, you look at Beyond Two Souls, I mean, he's got Willem Dafoe and Ellen Page, or whatever her name is.
That's right.
Yeah, doing, like, the lead roles. I mean, he's getting, like, A-list Hollywood actors in his games, you know. At this point, I think we can safely say he's pretty much just making a moderately interactive movie. And that's cool.
The trailer debuted at Tribeca Film Festival.
And won awards.
So there you go. I mean, yeah. That's not... by accident.
It's clear that he's trying to bridge the gap between gaming and movies. I mean, it's clear that he's trying to gain mainstream acceptance for that style of storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
I think right now we can put it as a game because we don't really have a robust category to put it into. But I think eventually it's going to shake down as being more, I don't know, interactive fiction or something like that. I think a game has to have rules that you can succeed or fail.
Yes, those that's rules. Right.
But you can die.
No, sort of. I'm not actually sure you can.
Oh, okay, in Heavy Rain, you can die.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, yes. So that is where the game element comes in. But I think, for the most part, it's about going through a process and less about adhering to the rules of gameplay.
Yeah, okay, sure. And, I mean, you know, quick time events are skill testing... they test a skill,
whether you test reaction time,
whether you appreciate that skill or not, right? But that's trained. I mean, it's a trained skill to know how to react to buttons when they appear on screen.
Yeah, but okay. Hold on. It's not a mechanic to be saying you're doing one thing, you're doing this one thing, you're doing this one thing. Oh my god, press X or die. That's not a game mechanic. That's that's the game developer across the forehead with his dick.
That's no different. That is no different from a game where an enemy, like a Super Mario Brothers, which you brought up earlier, like when the bullet bill comes across the screen and you don't press duck or jump, then
you know
you
that's
die.
Going to happen. Though you start out the stage, they always tell you at the start of the stage by generally a pretty obviously placed bullet dispenser, and you hear the thump.
I don't know about that.
Oh yeah, okay.
I mean, there are indications.
I mean, you know what's going to happen. It's coming, and you know it. Where it's going to come from, you know it's going to be on one of these planes, but you know it's coming.
I sort of agree with both of you in that I think that games do not always do that, but I feel like they're cheating when they don't. So a lot of times, like, I don't know. I want to be the guy's the most extreme version, but I'm sure there's less... I mean, that was created to piss people off. So I'm sure there are versions that...
It was amazing.
You know,
it was so good.
But you don't know... a scapegoat's kind of like this, actually, the first one. You don't know until you do something, then you're like, oh, I just got squished. I had no idea I was going to be squished.
Right. And, well, what about Counter-Strike, or what about Call of Duty, or any of those kinds of games? Even playing against... you know, playing in the sort of story, and Counter-Strike doesn't have it, but any of those games where if you get shot, you die. Like, if you didn't dodge, if you weren't in cover, if you didn't pull the trigger fast enough, you died. I mean, that is no different.
No, because you still know what's coming.
You know what's coming in a game like this. You know that you have to be ready to press the button or throw the controller
around at any time.
Because
David Cage is always watching.
Because that's the entire mechanic of the game.
Entire game plays
that way.
I don't like that, though, I guess. I think that's... if it's a bullshit mechanic to do it once, building a game around it is a lot of bullshit.
All right, let's try to take this conversation to a game that is similar but different, which is The Wolf Among Us. That is also an interactive
that's
story.
That's a good transition.
Thank you.
Or we can talk about The Walking Dead also, because it's the same as The Wolf Among Us.
That's also an interactive story, but it does not have... Well, I mean, I guess it does sort of have quick time.
Yeah, absolutely does.
Does it? I haven't seen.
It absolutely does. So The Wolf Among Us, like, we should do a little background here. The Wolf Among Us is the new episodic game from Telltale for this year.
Based on Fable, the comic book.
That's right. Fables? Fable?
Fable.
Fable.
Okay. this was like my pick of the year from PAX, too. Like, it was my standout from PAX this year. And it's basically the same as The Walking Dead, except you play... I guess it's like sort of film noir inspired, but modern day ish. You play as the big bad wolf, who's now the sheriff of Fable Town, which is like a, you know, hidden community inside of New York. Yeah, so it came out this week, and Lior has played most of the first episode. I have played all of the first episode.
And Vashra's watched some of the first episode.
That's fair.
The Wolf Among Us is excellent. Like,
it's
excellent.
Really, really good.
It is. It looks really, really good.
It's instantly up there as one of my favorite games of the year. A very small crowd at the top of that list. But the writing is spot on. Spot freaking on. I really appreciate that. The characterization is great. I realize that they're taking characters that already existed in Fable, but I love the way they put them together.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all new to me, so I don't...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you're playing Bigby, and you have those moments where you do silence, and he's just, like, looking at someone, and, you know, ashing his cigarette on the floor, and you're like, yeah!
Like a cigarette on Mr. Toad's head when he asks for help for his family. That's amazing.
You're like, I'm pretty cool. I feel pretty cool.
I am a total badass.
Yeah.
It's even better if you have read all of the comic books. They really did a good job of kind of bringing the world...
Is the story related?
Yeah, well, yes and no. I mean, all the characters are, and they're definitely referencing events from the comic books a lot. It's not like a scene out of the books, if that's what you mean.
Yeah.
It is an original story.
Cool.
I was a little worried when they said they were doing something based on Fable, but this is excellent. And I love the fact that, I mean, The Walking Dead kind of scared me a little too much to play because I'm a chicken when it comes to scary games.
Yeah, it has been difficult for me to get through that game. I haven't gotten through all of the episodes because I can only play them once every couple months.
Right, yeah, they're intense and sad and gory and scary, and so it's nice to have something that's a little less intense, but still equally as well done. And I suspect
and less
that
depressing. I like
this is fairly this has been fairly intense, but it is definitely less depressing.
Right, right. It's not a horror movie; it's a mystery movie.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed it. I would be very surprised if we did not see Wolf Among Us doing as critically well as The Walking Dead.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't be shocked at all. Telltales, they're clever guys and girls and whatever they choose to identify as. I don't judge. They're all very clever, though.
They're clever people.
Yes.
No, it's true. I can't speak highly enough of it. The graphics are amazing.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
I have nothing to say because it's just really, really, really good.
I want you to have been done with it so that I can just talk about the actual events. But you're not done with it yet, so I can't.
No, we should wait to do that on the podcast because it's only been out like a week, so.
Yeah, but it's only like 2.5 hours long.
I know, I'm almost done. I have to thank Telltale Games. They sent me a review code. Otherwise, I wouldn't have played it. Thank you, Telltale! That's not why I love your game, but it doesn't hurt.
We would have purchased it for you.
It's true.
During the next Steam sale or whatever. But thank you, Telltale, and next time you can send me a review code, too.
Yeah. No, if you enjoyed Walking Dead or you like story-driven games at the Steam sale, if you don't pick this up, you're crazy pants.
I mean, I would pay. It's $25, and you're going to get 5 episodes. I don't know what their schedule's like. I don't know if they've announced it. But The Walking Dead, I always heard people talking about the episode, and then the next episode came out, you know, within a month or two. So it was not a particularly long release schedule.
No.
I guess there's going to be season 2 of The Walking Dead too, which is cool. And I feel like I'm going to need to actually play these games so that I can play that one also.
Extra Life, it's coming.
Oh god, that's right.
It is coming. 2 weeks. We only have 2 weeks, which is the next podcast that lines up with it.
I'm not doing another 6 a.m. podcast, so we can argue about that later. That was the worst podcast ever.
Oh, that was hilarious. You guys looked like you were going to die at any moment. You looked like I felt.
I thought I was going to die. Arrow got up at 9 a.m. her time, and we're like, hello.
Well, maybe we can sleep for 5 or 6 hours and then do a podcast.
That might be more wise. So I want to move along to our last topic before we talk about what we've been playing lately. So in the blogosphere, and I'm immediately sorry for using that word.
No, you're not.
You are captain of the blogosphere.
I'm captain of the blogosphere. That is not a title I think I want.
It's
anyway,
a captain, not the captain. So you share a responsibility for the horror that is the blogosphere.
I still don't think I want that. In the game blogosphere, There is an event going on during October called the Newbie Blogger Initiative, which I'll put a link in the show notes, but it is newbiebloggerinitiative.com, in which in October, people who have game blogs encourage other people to start one, and we do lots of mentoring, and we, I don't know, help people out with stuff, and it's just a grand old time. But one of the things that we're doing this year with the organizers, Contains Moderate Peril and Dune from TRR Red Skies, is we are doing the Talkback Challenge event. So they pick a topic, and then people around the blog place...
The blogging community.
Respond. And there's one that's been a hot topic, and I wanted to talk about with you guys, which is guilds. What function do guilds serve in games? What kind of guilds do you prefer? And basically, is there a use for guilds anymore in games? There's been a lot of people posting about this. On the whole, from what I've seen, the posts have actually come down not in favor of guilds. I don't like. So that's why I'm bringing it up now. But I know I used to raid lead and guild lead. Ellie, I know you used to raid lead. Vajra, you were an officer in a guild.
Yeah, I have guild butt at points too.
So we have all been there. So I don't know. Start with Vajra. Are guilds relevant in MMOs anymore?
Oh, well, in MMOs in particular, I would say yes still. I mean, I don't know. Speaking of someone who has been a raid leader, it's...
horrible. The worst experience of your life?
No, that not the worst, but it was up there. It was definitely up there. There is so much to be said for regularity and predictability in MMOs if you're doing raiding. If you're not doing raiding, yeah, I could totally see how guilds are kind of outmoded, especially with the way they're just making it so much easier. Like, you know, Blizzard with their cross-game friends lists and Guild Wars 2, their whole, you know, multiple guilds thing. It being able to play with all of your friends really removes a lot of the necessity of guilds for casual players. For people who are trying to do coordinated, organized play, guilds may still be pretty necessary. There's a lot to be said for knowing who you're going to be rolling with every Tuesday and Thursday night, and knowing what they're going to do and how they're going to play and what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are.
You don't need a guild to do that.
You don't need a guild, but, I mean, I don't know. I find it helps to have them all in one place, but if you could get that reliable group of people in your, you know, extended friends list and could coordinate them all through that, yeah, that I could see that totally replacing the guild. I just don't know that that's been set up well enough yet. I don't think anyone's done that well enough to...
Ellie, Guild Wars 2 lets people join multiple guilds and then flag which one they want to represent. And I know Wildstar... there hasn't been a lot of news about guilds, but they have circles, which are kind of like the Google Plus circles, so you can be in multiple circles at the same time.
I think circles are essentially glorified chat rooms with permissions, chat channels with permissions, but are persistent.
So, do guilds still have a purpose?
I think that organization of people always has a purpose. I think that communities are really important to... getting people to play together and to keep coming back, and that's like that's the hardest thing. I don't think guilds as such are all that particularly important. I mean, I don't know, like, I don't, like, what's the purpose of being able to join a guild versus being able to join a moderated chat channel or forum community or something like that?
Tabard in a bank
socialism
slot.
If
we come up with two totally different answers.
So tavern in a bank slot, sure. I mean,
what do people advertise for guilds in WoW? And they're, you know, standing in Ironforge, hollering for people to come join them. We've got a tabard, a guild, and TeamSpeak.
Right, and leveling bonuses, which are kind of harmful, and mass res and any of those sorts of perks that developers have mechanically given to guilds because they want to encourage people to join guilds, I guess, but I don't know why they're necessarily encouraging people to join guilds.
I don't know, because it's tradition. Honestly, I don't think there's any mechanical, you know, advantage in guilds themselves. It's just, it's what people do. It's what we have done. I think that can definitely evolve and change. It already is evolving and changing. Guilds today are not what they were in EverQuest. Nor will the guilds of, you know, Wildstar, the generation after that, resemble anything that's in WoW now.
So, here's where I come out in as the strong in favor of guilds.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the sense of community that comes with a guild and collective fortunes are critical to games, to MMOs.
Being on a team, yeah.
And it's more than being on a team, because people are, I mean, I don't know. It's more than that, though. A guild is more than just a team.
You feel a little bit like, you know, we're under this flag, and you all work together on things. And that's why I said, like, the socialism, the reason why it's better than, you know, just a chat room or a bank slot is that contributing. So, you know, everyone puts money in the guild bank.
Everyone ought to put money and crafting materials in the bank, and in reality, three people
right,
do.
Right, in a functional guild. I think one of the huge problems with guilds, that, as far as an actual practical experience, is that there are a lot of shitty guilds.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And there's a lot of people who run guilds who should not be running guilds, because, I mean, it's true. And
no, I'm not disagreeing. I think that's...
There's a bit of it sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but there's a bit of a leadership necessity to running a guild.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't have that. They just want a guild because, I don't know, their buddy thinks it'd be cool to have a guild, and they run one, and then people join, and then, you know, it's all badness. That is a problem. But the concept of the guild is a sound one.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's anything inherently bad or wrong about them. I just don't necessarily think we need to stick to the old system forever, because it's the system we've been using.
Yeah, but when you get like a Guild Wars 2 thing where people can sign up to any guild they want and they just higgledy-piggledy, I don't know, man. I don't know. Where's your loyalty?
You inspire loyalty in people, and then they stick with a guild that they are having the most fun with.
I mean, maybe. Yeah.
You're not wrong, I think.
I mean, so when I look at my sort of history of MMOs, right, like I started, I guess, Star Wars Galaxies was really my first MMO, and the only reason I played that for more than a couple of weeks was because somebody randomly invited me into their guild, and then I, like, met people, and those were my friends. And now I had a reason when I logged on, I had people who would say hi, and it just, like, made the whole thing a lot more welcoming, right? And then in addition to that, there's, yeah, I don't know, they had a little bit of additional things going on. I mean, even at that level, we had crafting collectives and you know, like, I'll trade my work for your work with our trade skills and everything like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. And what you're describing there is, you know, a classic guild, and I don't know,
I don't think that kind of guild has existed for a long time. I mean, it certainly didn't exist in
I was
going
to say that, but I didn't want to sound like an old fogey. Thank you. Thank you.
No, I mean, the Warcraft guilds are not the same kind of guilds as those Star Wars guilds.
Same thing with, like, I mean, you described, like, a classic EQ1 guild, too, you know? I mean, you know, like, epic weapon quests where you needed your whole guild. There were, like, raid bosses to do to get your individual weapon.
And the Modern WoW Guild is very much not... The Modern WoW Guild is a shell for a raiding group. And that's basically all. I mean, it is. And a big part of that, in my mind, is that the crafting is completely unimportant. And basically everything in the game can be done individually, except for the raid bosses. So that's why you join a guild in Warcraft.
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's no virtue of combined resources or relying, you know, oh, hey, can we barter?
There's no sum of parts is, you know, whole is greater than the sum of its parts situation. Aside from the social aspects and aside from the social momentum that gets people logging on every week or every day, which is very, very important for these sorts of games. I mean, we've all experienced it together where, you know, a few people can't make it or their life changes and then nobody cares anymore, right? And then, you know, a few people start something new and everybody flocks to a new game or a new whatever, and then it's fine while there's critical mass, and as soon as it sort of slows down, then people like split off and do their own thing, and then like then you're just left with like, okay, well, this game has to survive on its merits, right? I mean, this game has to be fun to all of us individually on its merits. And I have to say that very few games in my experience have ever been worth 200 or 300 hours, or let alone, you know, Warcraft time.
Right. We don't even talk about how long that is.
Right. I mean, like literally, like, months and months of actual combined playtime.
Yeah. No, definitely.
definitely that game, while I've had a great experience and I'm very happy that Warcraft was a thing at the time that Warcraft was a thing for me. And again now, but it's not fun on its own merits. It's fun because of the people I'm hanging out with. So
right.
If the point of guilds is to create that social glue, I think that's great. I don't think that glorified chat channel guilds are important or interesting to me anymore. Right. You know, I mean, I guess in Warcraft, no, I don't think guilds are important anymore. I hope that in games going forward, guilds become important. But most of the games that I have played recently, the guild is not a particularly important structure. I'm organizing who I'm playing with in external structures anyway. I mean, like, we have our forums. I have another couple of forums that I hang out on, and between those areas, that's where I'm finding my playgroup, and that's where I'm finding my coordinated time. It's not in-game.
But that's been the case for a long time. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the need to be in a guild to raid, like, did force me to go branch outside of my comfort zone, and, like, the dwindling population of, like, your original guild forum. Like, we've seen that too, right? Like, people go do their thing, and then, like, oh, now we only have, like, 10 people who post instead of the 40 who used to post.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So getting fresh blood is important.
Yes. Recruit. Oh, God, I'm so glad I'm not an active guild leader anymore.
Nobody actually likes... Well, I do not actually like putting myself out there and trying to talk to new people. When I'm presented with that situation, I will do it. But, like, I'm not going to go out of my way, and that's one of the frustrating things.
Recruiting is pretty much the worst. If I can give advice to anyone, both guild leaders or people seeking a guild, it is, like, people who are looking for a guild, make the effort to find a guild that suits you. Like,
yes.
Figure out what it is you want from the guild, talk to the guild leaders, make sure that they're doing what you are looking for in a guild. And the guild leaders need to make sure that they are recruiting people who will fit in with what they want to do with their guild.
And think about what your guild offers to people, too.
Yeah, because when you don't have that intersecting, that's where the problems occur. So people think they're joining a casual guild, and all of a sudden, you know, they're being yelled at for not signing up. Or people think they're joining a raid guild, and they don't know why there's no progression, or blah, blah, blah. And that's the problem. People need to actually take the time to figure out what it is that their guild does, or what they want out of their guild, and then find
that. Yeah, and 10 years later, I still don't think we have the right language to describe that.
Okay, you might be right.
Go look at guild advertisements, and none of them say anything.
My guild advertisements were awesome.
And I joined your guild. How about that?
So the key here is hire professional writers to write your guild advertisements.
Right, yeah.
And then they're right on the money. Unfortunately, Vajra has to leave us, so Ellie and I will be talking about what games we've been playing lately. But Vajra, thank you for coming on the show.
It's my pleasure. Sorry to have to bow out early.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for coming on.
No problem.
You got in all the good stuff, and we got to yell at each other, which is important.
Precisely.
That's
precisely.
The important part.
Oh, I can contribute one last thing about for games I've been playing lately. Fallout New Vegas. Nothing else. Nothing but New Vegas.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. That's all I got.
I was saying while you were away that we should do an episode soon about open world sandboxes and how much I don't like them.
Pick a good one for me and I'll play it during Extra Life.
Okay.
I'll put 4 hours into that one.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually.
If I pick any Bethesda game, we're going to have to spend, like, a week modding it beforehand, though. So
we'll pick it soon, and then we'll have time to do that.
Fuck. Okay.
Yeah, and I'd like to get through the, like, newbie intro experience and into the open world.
Yeah, no, that's...
By the time that Extra Life, so we'll figure it
God,
out.
God, don't set me off on this. I'm just going to set you up with New Vegas and, like, 150 different mods. This isn't... The game you'll play for Extra Life will be manage mods so I can figure out why my game crashes the desktop every 30 seconds.
Yay! That's a great game.
I hate that game.
All right, well, thank you for coming on, Vajra.
Peace out.
Bye! Ellie, what have you been playing lately aside from The Wolf Among Us?
FIFA.
FIFA, yeah, really?
I've been playing last year's FIFA. I bought it when it was... half or one or two-thirds off during one of the PlayStation Network sales maybe 6 months ago now, and it's fun. I mean, I don't know, it's FIFA. So if you're into it, you probably already know what FIFA is about, and I'm enjoying myself.
It's like kicking a ball around.
Right, I'm trying to get back onto Manchester United, and they've sent me out on loan because I'm only 19 years old or something. But I scored 6 goals against Liverpool because that was awesome.
Liverpool sucks.
You don't care. It's fine.
No, I went to the Manchester United stadium over the summer, so. You know, I'm very hip with the FIFA.
Mm-hmm. So I played that, and I played video games-wise, just a little bit of Warcraft. So we're still doing our newbie stuff. I'm still enjoying it. I've actually tried all the specs now. I tanked for the first time a couple weeks ago as a paladin.
Oh, paladin,
I, like, didn't know what was going on, but it was fine because it's a leveling instance.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that experiment's going pretty well, although I think we're about to hit the... Oh, hey, cat. There's a cat just walked right behind you. We're about to hit sort of like a gap in levels. We just are doing Zul'Farak now, and then we have, I think, Blackrock Depths, and then that's like at 52, and then there's not another one until like 55 or 56. I don't know. And I think we're 46, so we're now at this place where there's like a gap in levels, and it's going to be the first time that we haven't progressed from one instance to the next in a given week, maybe. So we'll have to think.
I'm really surprised there's a huge gap like that. That seems weird.
Me too. And then we're going to get to Outlands, and Outlands instancing is still shitty.
Oh man, I'm kind of sad that I have fallen behind because Outlands and just those, that's good times.
Well, you should catch back up so we can do it.
That's true. I have also been playing a lot of WoW. I have spent the weekend trying to properly set up Trade Skill Master, which
Jesus
is an
Christ.
Auction house managing mod. It just came out with version 2.0, and it is so complicated. I feel like I'm programming the freaking space shuttle. They made it all... I mean, it's basically object-oriented now, so you're like auction action A with like inventory group B, and it's insane. But I currently have a baby paladin sitting in the Belf city with like 300 auctions up, and I do not have my auctions up in the other window on the mobile auction house watching them as I do this podcast, because that would be weird. I love playing the auction house, man. God, I love it so much.
I want you to get into, on my behalf, I want you to get into Magic Online so that you can trade cards for me. And I actually listen to one or two financial magic finance podcasts at this point.
That's a good idea. I've played the Steam Marketplace a little bit for a while.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Just like flipping cards. It's not bad. You just have to be really vigilant as to what goes
that's
up.
That's how the magic one is. And you have to be aware of sort of what else is going on in the community. And then there's like, there's lots of opportunities to speculate, but I don't know how it would go for somebody who didn't actually play, since it seems like a good time to speculate is when new cards are coming out or new cards are when the format's switching a little bit, because you have to like pick sales, you know, you have to watch the sales windows, and then like also things like will retain their value or go up in value but not for 4 or 5 years until like there's kind of a shortage, so it's a lot longer of a game. I'm not doing that.
I think anything to do with markets, it's a game of information.
Absolutely.
So as much information as you can gather about, you know, anything to do with the markets, that's what's going to make you come out ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's pretty easy to do in Warcraft. You just look at what's coming out in the next patch and try and guess.
Yeah, so how do you do it in mid-patch? Do you just look for... Do you watch trends?
I'm right now, honestly, I'm just basically a day trader.
You just find the things that are lower than they ought to be and sell them?
Yeah, trade, like, raw trade materials mostly. Just, you know, buy them and flip them for double the price or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's nothing too complicated. With this last patch was the Sky Golems that came out. The materials for that was a good time to stock up on those.
Yeah, if you have the money to get in, yeah.
And a lot of times, you know, you just buy stuff when it's cheap and you just can sit on it for months and wait till the price goes up again. Particularly any time before an expansion, everything starts to get really cheap and then everyone starts leveling again and then you can do really well after the expansion.
I did really well when the new classes came out because I had a bunch of low-level cloth and like
nice.
Aura and stuff. And I didn't go in as heavy as some people did that I knew. But I definitely was selling stacks of linen for ridiculous sums because people were leveling trade skills from the ground up on their new characters and didn't want to go farm, even though it literally took me, you know, 20 minutes of time to get a backpack full of linen or whatever. I was willing to do that. Other people have the money, so they give it to me.
You know, and a lot of it now is just basically, it's the mods. You know, the mods will provide you with the information you need because I'm not going to keep a spreadsheet of, you know, the price fluctuations. So, and I actually am severely impressed with how much mods have come along since I last played WoW, like 2 years ago. I have an application that sits in my system tray on my computer and downloads the WoW auction house data and the general region market data from another site and does it. And then so it's all refreshed for me every time I log on WoW. Like every 30 minutes I get updated market reports from Warcraft.
Yeah, that is actually one thing that I've found frustrating about Warcraft. When I was trying to make enough money to get, I wanted to get the Alchemy Drake, I think, in the last expansion. And I didn't ever actually get it because I didn't bother to spend the hours, or maybe it was two expansions ago, I don't know, whenever it came out I never got it
right.
And you know, I kept being like, well, I want to go collect all this stuff, and that's fine, except that it's a lot of stuff, and then the stuff that you have to spend a lot of money on. And I mean, I had a good amount of money, but I never was really making money. It was really hard to like sort of just want to buy all this stuff because I never felt like I'd get my account back up to sort of the place I was comfortable with, to be able to buy all the gems and enchants and whatever if I got like a whole new set of gear. So yeah, I don't know. Day traders are ruining the market is basically what I'm trying to say.
So that's it. That's it for the show. That's an hour. We're done.
Cool.
Go away. No. So that's it. We talked about a bunch of stuff. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about more things. You can find us online at lioreblog.com, lioreblog.com. Click on podcasts in the main menu. Check out our YouTube channel. It's, I'll put a link in the show notes, but we have a lot of fun stuff on there. One of our guildies and a guest on the show, Mangle, has put, some of his Magic the Gathering online on there. I'm doing a Let's Play of The Wolf Among Us. Of course, this podcast will be on there. Check it out. It's cool.
Yeah, I don't post my magic there, but only because I'm streaming it myself.
You should. You should stream it and then post it there. So yeah, check it out. There's going to be a whole bunch of gameplay stuff, and it's a fun place to hang out. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. Leave us voicemail on SpeakPipe.
SpeakPipe? What is SpeakPipe?
It's like online voicemail.
Oh, is that the little thing that pops up on the side of the window?
That is the little thing that pops up that says, leave us voicemail.
You guys should, because it would be cool to answer some questions.
Yeah, I really want to do a question show soon, so I will start bugging people about that. And in 2 weeks, Ellie and I will be doing Extra Life, 25 hours of gaming, live streaming on the internet on our Twitch channel.
What time of day are we starting? Did we decide yet?
Well, I think it starts at 8 or something.
8 o'clock 8 a.m. is really early.
I'm ready for it. I'm ready. I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to bed early. Last time, I think I got like 5 hours sleep, which did not help any. So this time I'm ready. And this year I live right next to a 7-Eleven, so I can go at any time for like emergency big gulps.
That's an excellent idea. I'm just going to stock up.
That's a good idea. Healthy food.
Healthy food. I'm going to get some good coffee.
Yes, coffee. I'm going to try not to drink so much this year, so I'm not really tired by 2 in the
morning. Drinking like is really a bad idea for these sorts of things.
It is, and yet
it's what
really
you
want to
do, but
fun.
Like it just doesn't. Yeah,
it is. What you're like 1 a.m. and I'm like, I'm gonna be up all night playing video games. I want a freaking beer.
God. You can have a few, just not all of them.
Aw, I'm not good at that part. Thanks very much for watching, guys. We'll be back in 2 weeks, and until then, have fun and keep on playing.
Bye.
Bye.
Turn off your mic. What? Like stop recording. Oh, okay. I'll record mine for a little bit, and then I won't say anything funny. That's what else is new, right?